Today is Tuesday of Holy Week. Yesterday, we reflected a little bit on the significance of these days of Holy Week, how prominent they are in the liturgical year. Father Francis sometimes referred to these first days, meaning Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of Holy Week, as a little triduum, in contrast to the great triduum, the Paschal triduum, which starts on Thursday night. Anyway, here we are in the middle of this period of weekdays of Holy Week. And it is a significant time. You know that in Anuim, we've developed over the years a tradition of having our Visita Iglesia on this day. I don't know how it happened, but usually, or for many years, we had a pilgrimage on Tuesday of Holy Week. And as I was reflecting on the readings, I could recall celebrating Mass in many different churches over the years. Probably of all the days of the year, this is the day I've had Mass in more different places all over the provinces. Usually very, very hot and everybody's tired waiting for lunch. But anyway, that's our tradition. Now, we didn't do it this year because we're making a pilgrimage a month from now in honor of my own anniversary. But it's a month from tomorrow. We're leaving on May 1st. But that's why we didn't have the extended Visita Iglesia this year. We had a short one 2 weeks ago. Anyway, my point is, this is a very solemn, a sacred time of year. We know that it focuses on the Passion, but the scriptures often point out that it's not suffering only. It's a kind of combination of suffering and glory, of sorrow and joy, of defeat and victory. They're intertwined, they're juxtaposed in a mysterious way. We saw evidence of this earlier, even yesterday when we were reflecting on Mary of Bethany. Mary of Bethany, whose brother died and was buried, and then was raised from the dead after 4 days, and she decided in great thanksgiving and love to anoint Jesus with this very expensive perfume. And it said that the whole house was filled with the fragrance. It's a kind of indication of the glory. The house is not filled with the stench of death. Even though he had died for 4 days, he didn't stink. It's a victory over death. It's already indicated by that beautiful fragrance. Well, some of this combination of sorrow and glory comes up in today's readings. Today's first reading, the second of the Songs of the Servant from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. This servant, whom we can identify as the Messiah, Jesus, but at the time of Isaiah, they didn't know exactly who this was. But this servant called from his mother's womb to have a special role in the plan of God, to show God's glory, to be God's sword, to be the instrument of his redemption of the people. Called from the womb with this great ministry, but hidden for a while, right? Hidden like a sword in the shadow of his arm. Jesus was hidden for 30 years. And only after 30 years did the Father pull out the sword and then bring about the public ministry. It says here that the servant is not only a servant for the tribes of Jacob, but to be a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. This Messiah is not just the Savior of the Jews, but of the whole world. It's a glorious call. Now, we will see this servant on Good Friday, or we'll hear the fourth song of the servant, in which he speaks about his terrible suffering. So he's called to be glorious. He's called to reveal the glory of God to the ends of the earth, but he himself is going to pay the price for it. So that's this combination of sorrow and joy, or of suffering and glory. We see it here in the gospel as well. This gospel is John 13, we skipped over some passages since yesterday. Yesterday, I wasn't sure whether that anointing of Mary was before or after the triumphal procession, the Palm Sunday procession. I looked it up. It's before. So this anointing of the feet of Jesus takes place 6 days before the Passover, and then the next day, Jesus makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem with the waving of the palms and the shout, Hosanna to the Son of David. That's in how John's Gospel presents it. And so we skipped over some other things, including some of the early events at the Last Supper. This Gospel takes us to the Last Supper. Jesus has already washed the feet of the disciples. He's the servant, right? He's the servant of the Lord who is taking on himself the role of salvation, of washing us clean with his blood. Anyway, we'll get to that on Thursday evening when we celebrate the Mass of the Lord's Supper. So after that washing of the feet, then Jesus takes us to this, or the Gospel takes us to this point where he predicts the betrayal of Judas. Makes this Gospel a very heavy one. Betrayal, and a known betrayal of one of his closest companions. That's the first part of the Gospel. And then after it, at the end of the Gospel, there's the revelation that Peter too will fail. He will deny knowing Jesus three times before dawn, before the cock crows. Two very heavy, very sorrowful announcements, a betrayal and a denial. And in between, let's say there's this intertwining of sorrow and glory. In between, there's a paragraph in which Jesus says, this is right after Judas is filled with Satan and goes out into the darkness of the night. Right after that, it says, Jesus says, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. He's speaking about glory. What a glorious thing that God is doing. Yes, glorious because God is achieving his eternally foreknown plan of salvation. It is glorious. This is why the saints, the mystics, can, and St. Paul, can glory in the cross. They can boast of the cross. Because it's a great work of victory over sin and death. Now, after this little announcement of the glory, then he starts to say, well, I'm going to go away and you can't come. Jesus often speaks about this, going away and coming back and coming to get you. And this is language he uses a lot, and the apostles don't know what he's talking about. And so Peter, like he always does, he jumps right in and says, well, why can't I go with you? I'm one of your closest apostles. I'll go with you. And Jesus says, no, you can't go with me. Later you will. Later you'll go with me, but not now. And then Peter says very boldly, I will lay down my life for you. Why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. It's quite an impressive thing to say. A great declaration of dedication, but without knowledge of his own weakness. And so Jesus has to point out to him that your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. You want to follow me to death, but you can't do it. Not even this night can you be faithful. So what we're being shown here, as I say, this combination of sorrow and glory. But when it comes to the sorrowful part, it exposes our inner life, exposes our nature's unwillingness, or our nature's weakness. Of course, Judas and Peter are two different figures, and they're sorrowful for two different reasons. Judas decides against Jesus. Peter is overcome by his own fear. Judas aligns his will with Satan. He allows evil to reign in him. Peter does not want the evil, and he does not want to abandon Jesus. He just collapses in the moment. So it's two different things, but both of them reveal the human condition. We have freedom. We can choose good or evil. In fact, we're responsible for our choices. When we have chosen sin, we have taken a step in the direction of Judas. Our whole Lenten journey has been, in part, to expose and to repent of those steps that we took in the direction of Judas, our sins. It started with Ash Wednesday, right? Repent and follow the gospel. Turn away from sin. Turn away from the death path of sin and follow the gospel. So that's what we've been trying to do for 40 days, to not be like Judas. But we also recognize, in spite of our best efforts, we're not that good at this. Lent is a humbling season. Prayer, fasting, almsgiving. Prayer, fasting, almsgiving. We haven't prayed as much as we intended to 40 days ago, or fasted as much as we thought we would, or been as charitable as we thought we would, because we're weak. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. We're like Peter in those ways. The response, whether we're aware of our sin or aware of our weakness, the response is always the same. Repentance and return to the Lord. The answer to sin is the mercy of God. The answer to weakness is the strength of God, the grace of God. So it's important that we identify our likeness to Judas and our likeness to Peter. It's important that we realize that we're not always the beautiful fragrance in the house. But when we realize it, we don't despair or fall into discouragement. We turn to the Lord. We turn to the Lord, who is the servant who has come for this very purpose, to be the light of the nations, to scatter our darkness, to wash us clean, to make it possible for us to join him in his kingdom.